God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, let there be light. Because we believe we speak about the happenings here in this world, as we remain mindful that our true home is not here. It's with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. There's an old saying, if you want to know who's in charge, determine who you're not allowed to criticize. It's a good saying. And this works in the professional world. It works in the military world. Interestingly, it doesn't work in the spiritual world. Isn't that interesting? God is in charge of all things. He keeps the heavens and the earth in place. He keeps the stars where they're supposed to be. He keeps everything spinning. He keeps it all from collapsing. And we're allowed to criticize him. If that doesn't speak to mercy and grace, I don't know what does. I mean, people criticize Jesus Christ to his face. And some of them paid with eternity. Those who blaspheme the Holy Spirit, which is an unforgivable sin, pay with eternity. Others were given mercy because that's who Jesus was and is. But in the corporate world, in the military world, in the political world, you can determine who is running things by who you're not allowed to criticize. There was a desperate move last week that did not get enough attention, nor did a headline reporting it get enough attention. The very deeply, deeply corrupt, deeply, and I really try not to do this. I really try not to call people evil. I prefer to say they allow great evil to be done through them. I prefer to do that because I don't want to commit the evil of false witness. But I am sorry. The Pritzker family is stone cold, spiritually captured evil, and God loves them. He made them. They are clearly not members of God's family, given their actions. J.B. Pritzker is part of this family. He's part of a robustly corrupt, deeply spiritually captured family. He is the gubernatorial component of the family, and he is the dictator of Illinois. His brother is at the Human Rights Campaign. The Human Rights Campaign is the NGO, the non-governmental organization portion of the Pritzker swindle. That brother pretends to be a woman. He pretends to be transhuman. He has used the Human Rights Campaign to threaten states, to con states, to blackmail groups like the YMCA, YWCA, on the topic of transing kids. And J.B. Pritzker serves pharma in a different direction, with lockdowns and masking and threats, and recently with something far more perverse. They are working together on different ends of serving pharma, their bosses. They will not criticize their bosses. These guys made a decision to take their family's wealth, which had come from hotels, and they inherited it. They shifted it out of hotels to a great degree. They placed it into pharmaceutical companies and medical devices. They did that prior to them launching a move, bifurcated move, a governor and an NGO boss to corrupt the bodies, minds, and souls of children for profit and control and power. And they don't know it. They don't know it. Or perhaps they do. Maybe they do for Satan. J.B. Pritzker, the governor of Illinois, in other words, the dictator, because all governors in America are dictators. If there's a bad flu, they're dictators. Or if there's in the case of COVID, an ordinary flu. J.B. Pritzker, issued an executive order that restricts the collection and sharing of autism-related data, creating a major obstacle to RFK Jr.'s efforts to uncover the root causes of the condition. The media reports on this. Two separate media organizations said this: Illinois becomes the first state to protect autism data from RFK Jr. Protect it. Data is numbers that tell stories. They're not protecting the data. They're hiding it. J.B. Pritzker obviously serves pharma. Pharma obviously does not want this data to get out. Pharma then obviously is covering something up. Obviously, inarguably. Otherwise, they'd say, here's the data. For years, they have told us there's no connection. Here is the AP, Illinois governor's first in the U.S. to block federal access to personal data on autism. It's not, they're not blocking just the personal data. You have to be able to review this data on a finite basis. You have to be able to go back and interview people. If you want to get to the timing and the manifestations of the autism, they don't want this data to be analyzed because they know what it says. The gargantuan level of evil here is almost mind-boggling, except it's not. Because the dictator mindset, the satanic dictator mindset, we simply do not figure. They don't spend 5 seconds thinking about us, other than what they can do to us to take from us. And they don't know they're mocking God every step of the direction, every step of the way. RFK Jr., during his hearing, revealed his goals of stopping chronic disease and eliminating corruption at the National Institute of Health, which is to blame for the reason there isn't, he says it's to blame for the reason there isn't a cure to Alzheimer's.
We're switching the trajectory so that we're going to really focus narrowly on chronic disease, ending the chronic disease epidemic, and then we're going to make sure that the science cannot be corrupted. At every scientific study is replicated. That the raw data for those studies is published. That the peer review for those studies is published. And that we're going to focus on making sure that we get to younger scientists rather than the old boys network. And I could talk to you about scientific corruption all day long, about horror stories that we know have happened within NIH. One of those, probably the worst, is the amyloid plaque scandal. For 20 years, we were, because of utter corruption and fraud, we were directing Alzheimer's research to one hypothesis, and any other hypothesis was shut down. We should have the cure for Alzheimer's today. We don't have it purely because of corruption at NIH.
Ms. Frankel.
And we are going to have it quickly.
Ms.
Thank
Frankel.
Thank you, Mr. Senator.
When he is talking about the reason they're not being a cure for Alzheimer's being their corruption, how could he make such a bold claim? Dear ones, autism doesn't happen in unvaccinated populations. It simply doesn't. Correlation is not causation. Autism was unheard of prior to the massive explosion in the number of kids, the number of drugs kids are given right after birth. You can map it on a chart. The more toxins, because there are massive amounts of toxins injected into a small baby's body, and it's just increased over time. It's an absurd amount of injections. They don't let babies drink water until a certain age. Water. There is a medicine called DMSO, and it is useful. Midwestern Doctor has this report. There's a study that shows that DMSO is useful for, returning sight to the blind, literally, It's useful for stopping bleeding gums. It's useful for repairing dental damage. It's useful for fighting infections in the ears. It's useful for fighting infections in the eyes, in the sinuses. It is useful and has been known to be useful for a whole series of conditions that were otherwise now the realm only of pharma. DMSO has a very, 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 very good safety profile. And I have undersold some of the conditions it can address. Tinnitus, hearing loss, airplane ear, etc. So the FDA banned it. And then they fought with Congress for 16 years as Congress tried to reverse the ban. The FDA fought this. DMSO disappeared from the literature of medicine in America. Younger doctors didn't know it existed. Why? Because of pharma. Because it was too easy. It addressed too many things. Does that sound familiar? Does it sound like ivermectin to you? Now, if you really begin to think about this, J.B. Pritzker working on behalf of pharma to make sure that we cannot find out, at least in the state of Illinois, what causes autism or prove it. I contend it's the injections. And by the way, processed foods and a lot of our environment. I think there's a lot of things that add up to this because it's inflammation. I mean, one of the hallmarks of all disease is inflammation. So, but if you look at that fact, what Pritzker is doing, you look at the fact that the Human Rights Campaign, where his brother, who pretends to be a woman, works, is on the board. They worked with states to hide, to block, to ban the sharing of so-called transgender surgeries on children. It's illegal in Oregon to study that. You can't get the data. They pretend it's to protect the patients. You can remove the patients' names. It's not to protect the patients. RFK Jr. says we would have solved Alzheimer's were it not for corruption at the National Institute of Health. DMSO is a miracle cure of sorts. The FDA blocked it. It blocked ivermectin. It blocked hydroxychloroquine. Do you actually think, given all of that, do you actually think that the FDA is interested in a cancer cure? Honestly? I don't. There's too much in the pattern. Pattern recognition is our friend. You take something simple. This is non-controversial. Other countries don't have food dyes. We do. RFK Jr. talked to Representative DeLauro. She's that lady who has the short clip, multicolored hair and the weird glasses and hasn't accomplished anything in Congress.
Anybody thinks that we did gold standard medicine in this country from these institutions, look at our children. They're the sickest children in the world. Lori, you say that Congressman DeLauro, you say that you've worked for 20 years on getting food dye out. Give me credit. I got it out in 100 days.
I'll give you that credit.
All right, so let's work together and do something that we all believe in, which is have healthy kids in our country, for God's sake.
Ms. Dean.
Do that together. It's not, there's no such thing as Republican children or Democratic children. It's just kids, and we should all be cared.
I would just correct RFK Jr. on one thing. And I understand that he is being politique. I get that. I get that he, and by the way, to the Congresswoman's credit, she actually gave him credit. I let's recognize that. That was great. Thank you for that, Congresswoman. But no, RFK Jr., they don't want kids to be healthy. J.B. Pritzker doesn't want it. His brother, who pretends to be his sister, doesn't want it. Pharma clearly doesn't want it. The FDA blocking DMSO doesn't want it. The people who created the food pyramid with massive amounts of carbohydrates in the bottom doesn't want it. God does, because he made us and he loves us. We'll come back on the Disciples View. Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman, and I appreciate you. I think I could, I don't know the other hosts here well. I've had dinner a few times and met them a few times. I work remotely. I'm in the high mountains of the somewhat free. I call it the high mountains of free America. North Idaho is a pretty free place, but just like everywhere else around the country, we're being attacked spiritually, clearly. I mean, that happens everywhere. God is greater than, and he who dwells within us is greater than he's attacking us. But we're under attack politically as well. Our city of Coeur d'Alene here, it's leaning left. And I can watch the political police chief who's a coward. I can watch that happen. Political coward, I should say. I see it happening in Boise. It's happening where you're at. Because Satan's always on the march. The left is always on the march. They carry out a Maoist model. They always build around the college campuses, etc. So it's somewhat more free. But it's in the world. Boise is of the world. Not everyone there. Coeur d'Alene is of the world. Not everyone there, but an increasing number of people are of the world. So our job here is to be in the world and not of it. And consequently, we need to look at issues differently. For instance, the issue of racism. Now, I want to compare racism to a phrase that maybe I've made up, culturalism. Racism is sinful. Culturalism is biblical. So I think I've made that up. Not that racism is sinful. That's easy enough to prove. Biblically, scripturally. That culturalism, first of all, I think I made that word up. That culturalism is biblical. So when you begin a discussion like this, I think it's useful to make sure that we agreed on terms. Race does not mean color unless you're a leftist. Okay, if you're a leftist, race means color. So there's no such thing as the white race. Because people can come from Eastern Europe and be white. They can come from North America and be white. They can come from Southern Europe and be white. Northern Europe and be white. White, rather. That you can be Italian and white. So race is, there's no such thing as the white race. There's no such thing as the black race. You can come from anywhere and have dark skin. You can come from Saudi Arabia and have dark black skin and you're black? I think they disagree. No, I'm Saudi Arabian, or Arabian, if you like. And you can come from the continent of Africa and have fairly light skin. It's only in the construct of dividing that color is useful. It is also shrill and breakable. If you tell someone that their identity is they are black, that is not an identity that stands up well to attack or to question. It's shrill and thin and easy to knock over. If instead you were to say, for instance, if you come from the continent of Africa and you come from there and you have darker skin, you are of a race of people who had phenomenal field cures for things. As tribal members, you had an amazing ability to perform field surgery. Did you know that? In your so-called race of people, that you invented stitches? Did you know that? One of the great inventions of the African tribes were using otherwise horribly dangerous fire ants with these massive, these beaks. And you got a bad cut and you're going to bleed out. They'd bring the cut together and get the fire ants there that would bite the cut. And then they'd tear the body off and that the jaws would clamp down and that the head would stay there as a stitch. Did you know that you're that background? Did you know you come from a background of people who developed the ability to run for 50 miles because they had to, and it developed created in your bodies over time incredible abilities that other people lack? I mean, and you could go across the realm on this. You can talk about music and art. And did you know that you come from a heritage of people who developed the ability to tell stories through images and to communicate through drum beats? It's rich. it's important. It's and the foods are always an interesting discussion of culture. Why did the foods taste this way? You know, in the Hispanic culture, I asked someone, a friend of mine, who's a nutritionist in Mexico. I asked, hey, say, by the way, why is there such a prevalent spice? You guys have such spicy food. And he laughed. He said, oh, well, we didn't have good preservation. We didn't have refrigeration or good ways to preserve our food, so we use spice. Really? Yeah. And then we found that we liked it. So that's not race. That's culture. Well, it's culture. It's not color. Okay, but the left wants it to be color because they want it to be shrill and they want to be able to put anyone into it. They want to be able to make you white or black. That's why they invented the phrase BIPOC. So they can slide you into that. That's why they've invented the phrase marginalized peoples. So they can slide you into that. But notice that only one group remains the oppressor, the supposed white people, though there's no such thing as the white race. So that is preface to talking about culturalism, but let me finish this off because racism is a sin. Why? Because you're judging God's creation negatively. God saw fit to create people of many different backgrounds with some sometimes subtle and sometimes less subtle differences in the way our bodies look. I mean, overall, pretty subtle. Overall, cheekbone heights and shape of eyes and colors of hair are overall pretty subtle. Because when we die and our bodies dissolve and you have the skeleton that remains, not much difference. DNA-wise, not much difference. So when you are racist, you're judging God's creation to have been sloppily made, wrong. He shouldn't have made that race and his work here is bad. And so that's a sin. And then you can just go to scripture and the body of Christ. There is neither Greek nor Jew. And you can extend that. There's neither Greek nor Jew. There's neither Mexican nor Italian, Alaskan nor Texan. You can extend that. Black or white, which, of course, there's no such thing as the black race. There's no such thing as the white race. But it's a sin, particularly for the body of Christ. Culturalism, though, is not a sin. Culturalism is biblical. And let's look at this, okay? 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 through 16. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. So the context of this matters because Peter says there, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. Prior to becoming what? Adopted into the body of Christ, a culture. Who is he speaking here to? Well, you had the Jewish culture that had forgotten and had been mentally beaten out of remembering the mercy of God because the Pharisees and the Sadducees had put this obsessive focus on massive detail they'd added to the word of God that they themselves didn't follow. You had people thinking more about the Pharisees and the Sadducees and what they would think of something, more about the temple tax and did someone see you giving it, more about the authority of God, the officiousness of the law, than the great mercy of the law. You've been a people in bondage all these years. You don't know how to live. Here, I'm going to show you. And yes, I know you're not going to be able to complete all this, but I'm going to be showing you that you can't be godly on your own. You can't get near to my perfection. You can't. And therefore, you can focus on his mercy, even though I can't get near you. You love me and you're willing to take me into the family. And as Jesus came and completed the law, even more magnificent. And he created a new culture. So you had people coming from the Jewish culture, which was broken. Culturalism. Should we be Jewish? No. First of all, because Jesus Christ is the Messiah, and we need to accept him as our Lord and Savior, recognize him and honor him in that role. Secondly, in that time, as Peter was writing, the Jewish culture was broken. So was the pagan culture. And you could say, and I believe, the pagan culture was far more broken. They had child sacrifices still. They still had temple prostitutes. Very broken, very sinful culture. There were multiple races that were pagan. Some real races, some made up. But they were pagan. So we're to be transformed by the Holy Spirit, not transformed by the things of this world. That's culture. You had the Romans surrounding Peter at this time. What was the Roman culture? You had an army of 300 men who were same-sex attracted to each other and actively sexual with one another. You had Roman philosophers who believed that men can't actually love women. Did you know that? That a man cannot love a woman, cannot love his wife, because a woman is such a lower species that it's not real love, it's not admirable, that the only admirable love is man on man. Or, by the way, man on boy. Because that was part of Roman culture. And that was extolled as more virtuous than marriage to a woman in some philosophical circles. So you had that culture. And that was a rejection. God initially rejected in the Old Testament the cultures of the Baals. There were entire cultures built around demons. And God rejected those cultures. So culturalism is deeply biblical. We want people to join the culture of God's family, and we want God's family's culture to be a healthy culture. How? By the rule book, the Bible. Teaches us how to interact with one another and how to interact with God. That's what we were seeking. We didn't know that, but that's what we were seeking when we felt God calling us, and praise God for that. Now, these demonic cultures still exist, and we as Christians can judge them discerningly. Culturalism is biblical. This is a story out of San Antonio, Texas. It involves a 33-year-old woman named Ashley Pardo and her son, who was about to commit a horrible crime. He's a middle schooler. And listen to the story.
His mother, Ashley Pardo, brought him ammunition and tactical gear. The grandmother says on Monday, the child then told her before leaving for school with his mother, he was going to be famous. So she reported it to police. The warrant states the grandmother then searched the child's room and found multiple loaded magazines and an improvised explosive device that had, quote, "For Britton Tarrant" written on it. Now, Britton Tarrant is the convicted New Zealand mosque shooter from 2019, where 52 people were killed. When investigators questioned the mother, Ashley Pardo, the warrant states she didn't seem concerned about her son's behavior, despite knowing about his interest in mass shootings.
By the way, the mother, and I look, I have loved ones who are tattooed, but not all over their face, not all over their neck. Not with scribblings. They don't have their eyebrows altered to be straight lines. They don't have teardrops that often in gang culture indicate that you've taken a life. They don't have gang-style tattoos all over their body. That's a culture. And incidentally, and I maybe you don't know this, because praise God, it's something that a lot of people don't know. There is a subculture of people who honor so-called school shooters. And it's big. I mean, it's numerically bigger than people would think. They talk about them obsessively. They honor them. And that culture exists. So we as Christians can look at that culture and say that's an unhealthy culture. That's biblical. When you take it to race, then you say, for instance, black people are violent. A, you're lying, because there's no such thing as a black race. B, black people are not violent. There are violent black people. There is a cultural issue in inner city black cultures where young black men are the leading cause of death of young black men. But that's not the color. That's culture. And that's complex. And yes, it's a sin issue. And it's many other things. So we can look at that culture and say that's not healthy. There's cultures here where I live. There's a mountain culture where men and women live apart during a woman's menstrual cycle. There are separatist cultures that still exist here where the races shouldn't mix. I reject those cultures. Well, A, as sinful. Not mixing the races, so-called races. And B, a Pharisean approach to male-female relationships that forgets the law has been completed through Jesus. And Jesus modeled great respect for women. Racism is sinful. Culturalism is biblical. We'll come back under the Disciples' View. Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We'll get real quickly here to a personal note in the Tower of Babbling. Let me start, though, with a cleanup item. Christy Noem, for whom I don't care. I think the nickname Border Barbie is applicable. I say this because she cosplays as a cop. I find that deeply, horribly offensive because I have friends who have served as cops and risked their lives. I have a friend who died as a cop. I had a friend who died as a special operator, and she dresses up and plays that game, and I find it horrible. She sold out her state of South Dakota in a horrible way. I think she is a craven, power-hungry woman who's doing a good job on the border. She's doing a good job. And between her and Dan Goldman, I'll take her any day. Dan Goldman purchased his seat in Congress with Levi Strauss money. He is one of the most obtuse men in all of politics, who is a lawyer that has no notion of how the law works. He's an opportunist, but he is not doing a good job. So I'll take Christy Noem over him any day, and she delivered when they had an exchange.
You are here under oath. What steps have you taken to return Mr. Abrego-Garcia pursuant to this court order?
It's got to be extremely discouraging to be one of your constituents. To see you fight for a terrorist like this and not fight for them is extremely alarming to me.
I'm fighting for due process. That's under the Constitution.
The gentleman's time has expired.
Yeah, the court order, the Supreme Court said, doesn't count. Because it was an oral order, and the Supreme Court's already come along and said, no, Dan Goldman. On this program, though, it's frustrating because people like Dan Goldman get to call themselves congressmen. We thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called The Tower of Babel.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents The Tower of Babbling.
It is not a criminal violation to enter the country illegally. It's not a criminal. It's a crime. It's not a crime.
It's not a crime to do something illegal. Jasmine Crockett, ladies and gentlemen. Three sound bites in today's Tower Babbling. This starting with a woman who is not herself on a tall tower, but she has been mentally abused by people on tall towers.
I hate when people talk about black women being obese. I hate it because it becomes a way to blame us for a set of conditions that we didn't create. We are living in the Trump era. And look, those policies kill our people. And what public health practitioners think is that our stress responses in the body change our metabolism. It's literally that the racism that you're experiencing and the struggle to make ends meet actually means the diet don't work for you the same.
Everybody got that? Eating 3 to 4 times the amount of food you need to live every day is not why you're fat. Eating mass doses of sugar, which is in fact a drug, that's not why. It's because Orange Man. First of all, I feel incredibly sad for that woman. And I feel a deep sense of anger at the Democrat Party and the Mockingbird media who have created this particular mental syndrome. And interestingly, of course, President Trump got record support among black voters. Second soundbite in today's, for a Republican that is, second soundbite in today's Tower Babbling, Sri Thanander, the man who came here from India, penniless, give him credit, he built himself into a corrupt billionaire. He had filed papers to impeach President Trump, then he forgot to take an important administrative step, so that's died, sadly. He contends to represent Grosse Pointe in the Detroit area, except...
I don't know.
What are the 5 Grosse Pointe cities?
Well, look, I'm not here to answer a quiz. I'm here to say that I'm going to fight for the people of Detroit. I'm going to fight for my
constituents. Grosse Pointe
and all of the Grosse Pointe and all of Taylor and every
E-course.
Every part of the 13th district.
Can I just do this real quick? Grosse Pointe, Grosse Pointe Park, Grosse Pointe Woods, Grosse Pointe Farms, and Grosse Pointe Shores.
The man contends to represent a district. He can't name the boroughs. Can you name the towns around you? I can name them around me. I can name them all the way from where I'm at up to the Canadian border. I can name them in the other direction on the way to Seattle. He doesn't represent anything but himself. Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. Watch or listen to, in this case, this insurrection as they try to silence RFK Jr. I still find this funny for a very key reason.
The budget I'm presenting today supports these goals and reflects...
RFK, get off me!
It's an insurrection, of course, because they're stopping official government proceeding. This is what we've been told. It's very sad and it's horrifying to watch RFK Jr. apparently think he's being shot, the loud sounds. Who would blame him? But I cannot get over the fact that Ben Cohen from Ben and Jerry's was there screaming. Well, he wasn't, to be fair, he wasn't really screaming. I don't think he's capable of screaming. So he was talking as loud as he could about Gaza. RFK Jr. is there talking about childhood obesity and children being trafficked into our country, and they want to talk Gaza. But Ben Cohen is one of the chief creators of obesity among kids and particularly among black people. I mean, I don't food shame because people can choose to eat a little ice cream and you're not going to get fat, but they don't want you to eat a little ice cream. This is why they're constantly inventing new flavors of ice creams. And if you know anything about the junk food industry, you know that they employ chemists, food chemists. And they do that to figure out how to make their so-called foods addictive. So while he wants to yell about Gaza and the Ben & Jerry's website makes noise about Gaza and makes noise about helping the black community, they make products that have no nutritional content at all. They cannot help you nutritionally in any way, shape, matter, idea, faction, or form. They can only harm. And there he is, too frail to yell, while RFK Jr., who is in good health, is literally trying to save lives from obesity. And that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
I'm just following my orders here.
On A Disciple's View.
On a personal note today, I've been thinking about monuments to God. We no longer make monuments to God. We make monuments to a lot of things, to politicians and even people who are actual leaders. We make monuments to athletes. But we really don't make monuments to God anymore. And most of us don't have the resources to go make monuments. So I'm playing with the idea of creating mental monuments. And mental monuments in our families. And they're place markers we could create in our homes and places we travel. But in taking inventory of this, I'm thinking of the places where I wish I could build a monument. And so just some of these things that have occurred to me that God has placed in front of me that are clearly godly, clearly God's intervention, has got me remembering some stories I've told before, but they're so much different to me when I think about what I didn't do. So for instance, this is one of the most chilling things that ever happened to me. Chilling in a good way. And I'm deeply thankful that I responded well because it chills me. The Bible tells us, Jesus spoke of, as you treat the least of these, so you treat me. He also spoke of saying, I was in prison and you visited me. I was thirsty and you gave me something to eat. I was hungry and you gave me food. And in the reverse of that, he says, I was in prison and you did not visit me. I was thirsty and you did not give me water. I was hungry and you did not give me food. As you treat the least of these, so you treat me. And I was in New York. And at that time, it was a very heady period for me. I was a young kid who founded a startup with some friends. And I was the CEO and was doing high-level business in New York, something I never really expected to be doing. I used to joke about wanting to be a so-called titan of industry, captain of industry. I think I said captain. And I was coming out of a meeting in Uptown, or no, Midtown New York, probably, I think it was 56th, at least somewhere around the 60th block up in Midtown Manhattan. And when I'd gone in, it was beginning to snow. When I came out, it was a blizzard. And in New York, in those big canyons of buildings, the snow can blow impressively sideways. And at that point, no one's getting a cab because all the cabs are full. No one wants to walk. You're going to stand there for hours. I had a meeting I had to get to on 14th and Houston. And it was going to have to be a train, one of the ACE trains downtown. So I start hoofing it to where I knew there was a subway station. And as I'm hoofing it, this woman approaches me and Eastern European accent. I'm certain she was Russian. As I'm walking by, she touches my arm and says, sir, please help me. Please help me. I'm cold. And I am haunted by a touch of my arm. I am not Jesus, nowhere like Jesus. I need Jesus every day. I'm a broken man. I need redemption multiple times per day. But she touched my garment. And famously, a woman touched Jesus' garment and he healed her. I can't heal anybody. I can't even heal myself. I can't rescue myself. But in hindsight, I look at that and that's to me significant. And I stopped. And I was going to say something and give her a little bit of money and be on my way. Then I looked at her feet and they were wrapped in rags. And I could see her socks. And so I took out some money, and I think it was even a couple hundred dollars. And I gave it to her, and she started to try to kiss my hands. I said, no, mother, no. This is not my money. This is God's money. It's for you. God loves you. And I gave her that money, and I ran across the street, ran down the stairs, ran into the subway turnstile, ran to the train. Was one of the last people to make it on the train. The door was closing as I left, and it was an express train. Praise God. I think we made one stop. Maybe two, but an express train. Didn't make all the stops. Got to 14th and Houston, and the train doors opened, and I began running upstairs. And as I recall, that particular station which we stopped was pretty deep underground. There were multiple stories of stairs that I had to climb. And I'm running up the stairs. I get to the top of the stairs. And I'm orientating myself, figuring out which way I need to go to get to the meeting. And the lady's there. And she grabbed my hand. just as she had been doing in Uptown. She kissed my hand and said, "Thank you, thank you, thank you, sir." And I looked down at her feet. She was wearing bright new sneakers. Not the best for snow, but far better than she had. And when I say bright, I mean shining white. Clearly just purchased. Or manifested. There is no chance that she got on that train. There is no chance she caught a faster train. There is no chance she took a cab. There is no chance she did any of that, plus purchased new shoes. There is no chance she knew when my train was arriving. There is no chance she chose the right street corner. That was godly intervention. Was she an angel? She may have been. And what haunts me is this. She was the least of these. On that day, the Holy Spirit reigned in my heart. On that day, I did right. But what about all the other times where I've passed people by? I mean, I don't go around trying to be rude to street people or homeless people. And there's a difference. People who choose to live on the street versus people who are experiencing homelessness. And I think that lady, and I believe she was an angel, was experiencing homelessness for my benefit. If I could, I'd go back and place a monument there. Instead, I've created a mental monument. And I share that story very often with my family. In fact, just one of the stories my daughter continually asked me to tell, even in her 20s. Thank you, Lord. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because He first loved us, we speak His Word. We walk in the path of Jesus Christ to make disciples of all nations. Until God gives us permission to speak again together, may His peace wash over you. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman, and this has been Disciples View.